This is PhotoBizX episode number 302, and today we're talking email marketing. And we're going to go into detail on how to set up your lead magnet, the best lead magnets to use, opt-in rates, what to actually include in your emails, everything and anything you can think of about email marketing. It's going to be covered today, and our special guest is Kylie Garner from Creatology, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. This one is another jam-packed episode. So many good takeaways that Kylie shares. We're going to get to that in just a minute. As far as me and my week is concerned, I have been focusing on Facebook ads. There's been a lot of talk about Facebook ads inside the members' Facebook group, not the model call style or Bernie style Facebook ads, but more about how to dominate your local area using video ads by offering great, helpful, useful advice to your prospective clients and then retargeting those people that see your ad and actively engage with your videos with a series of ads in order with a specific call to action or sales message involved. So it's pretty technical, but it's not as difficult or hard as it sounds to set up, but it can be super powerful for the photographers that are keen to learn how to do this, set it up. And once it's done, the beauty of this strategy is that you can just leave it on autopilot. It's fantastic. So we've been talking a lot about that inside the members Facebook group already. We've been talking about the tips and content to share with your prospective clients, which is obviously going to change depending on the genre of photography that you focus on. In addition to that, I've been playing with an idea that I just learned on how to specifically target people inside a Facebook group, which, as you may know, if you have done anything with Facebook ads, you actually can't create ads for people inside a group. And this is someone else's group that I'm talking about, not a group that you own. This has been impossible to do. So at this stage, I'm still playing around and trying to fine-tune the strategy, see how it could be applied to you as a photographer. I'm guessing, for example, you know, if you're a mum and you photograph children or newborns or kids and you're part of a local mother's group, but you're not allowed to advertise your photography services there, this strategy is going to be incredibly helpful because you'll be able to run an ad to that highly target audience, the people inside or the mothers inside that particular Facebook group. This is still in its early stages. It's what I've been working on. It's what I've been playing around with this week, trying to wrap my head around how to actually make it work effectively so I can then go on and teach you how to do this yourself. So I'll have more to share on that as the tactic or strategy progresses, and I've had some success myself. Oh, and the other thing that happened this week is, if you heard the interview last week with Dave Stewart, the Scottish-based photographer, wedding photographer, who was interviewed for episode 301, we did at the very end talk about becoming a Scotch drinker. And it's something that I've wanted to do. I would love to be able to enjoy a glass of Scotch. Anything that I've tried in the past is going to take a lot of tasting before I could ever see myself actually enjoying the drink. And I'm not prepared to go to that extent. I mean, if I don't like it, I don't like it. But in the conversation with Dave, he shared a particular kind of Scotch that he said you should try if you are new to Scotch and you want to see what it's like. And it was the Dalwhinnie brand of Scotch. Anyway, I went and bought a bottle following the interview with Dave. And I've got to say, it is incredible. It's so good. And I'm not a Scotch drinker. So if you've ever thought about trying a Scotch or wanting to enjoy a glass of Scotch, then I can definitely recommend the Dalwhinnie brand that Dave recommended in last week's episode. And talking about last week's episode, if you haven't had a chance to listen to Dave and what he shared, get back and have a listen to that one, particularly if you are a wedding photographer. What Dave is doing is photographing every one of his couples who makes an inquiry. So not anyone that books an engagement shoot. This is any couple that makes an inquiry. They get an engagement shoot as part of the initial consultation. He does the shoot pretty much at his back door, And not only that, the shoot goes for 20 minutes. They come back into his house, his home-based studio. He does a quick edit and shows them the photos from that session. This is all part of the initial consultation with a couple. I love this idea. In the members Facebook group, Dave shared a link to his gallery, and he also shared some stats, which I can share with you here because these are incredible. Just let me go and grab these. Okay, I just jumped into the group to double check these figures. Dave posted in there that out of the 53 shoots that he did, he's booked 29 of those couples. He's booked their weddings. So that to me is just fantastic. I mean, that's a pretty awesome conversion rate. And not only that, he also gets to make this great connection with a couple and has the chance to make some sales as well from the initial consultation. I love it how it's all packaged into one thing. If you haven't heard that interview, get back and listen to Dave Stewart in episode 301. I know you're going to love what he has to share.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, if you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free podcast episode, which means you are going to get a bunch of tips and ideas from Kylie Garner in the interview that's coming up in just a second, straight after this announcement. But I wanted to make you aware that if you don't have a premium membership, you don't hear the full interview with Kylie or any other week, really, because I do save a portion, usually the best part, for premium members of the podcast. So if you are loving what you hear from Kylie and you want to hear the full interview, so get all the extra tips on email marketing, head over to photobizx.com/try. And for $1, you can get a trial membership. You get to hear the full interview with Kylie. You'll get access to the full back catalog. You can listen to the premium episodes on your phone or whatever device you like to listen to your podcasts on. And once you become a member, I'll help you get into your very own mastermind group. I'll introduce you to the other members inside the members Facebook group. And you can wake up every Monday morning knowing that you have some marketing ideas to work on to push your business forward, generate more income, more leads, more sales, and live the kind of life that you imagine living as a photographer. I mean, that's why we all get into it, isn't it? I mean, we get to make a living doing what we love to do. And not only that, we get to free up our daytime. We're responsible and answer to ourselves. We get the time and ability to structure our days to do what we want to do. So if you have kids, you can take your kids to school. You can pick them up after school. You can go and see them playing weekend sport. You can have more time to yourself to go on holidays. I can help you get shoots overseas as well. There are interviews for that. I mean, you can build the kind of lifestyle you want if you have a successful photography business. And that's what I'm trying to do with PhotoBizX, help you achieve those dreams through your photography so that you can design the kind of life that you want to be living by doing what you love to do. And the good thing is, it's not me here preaching to you about how I've done it. You get to hear from other experts, other photographers all around the world doing exactly what you want to be doing and helping you reach those goals. Come and check out the membership. It's $1. You will not regret it. photobizx.com/try.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Kylie Garner is a social media and brand strategist for creative entrepreneurs. She helps businesses rock their web, branding, and social media. Now, premium members may be familiar with Kylie, who did some online training inside the members Facebook group about a year ago now on how to set up and utilize the Facebook pixel. And the plan for today is to focus on email marketing and setting up an evergreen funnel for your business. We'll learn what that means in the interview, I'm sure. The beauty of Kylie and what she teaches is she is also a working photographer and she can relate 100% to what you're going through with your marketing. In addition to email marketing, Kylie helps photographers with SEO, branding, blogging, copywriting, and all things social media. She does this all under the banner of her business, Creatology. I'm rapt to have her with us now. Kylie, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure.
Very excited.
I can't believe it's been a year since we spoke last, but I'm excited to do this.
It is. I was very heavily pregnant last time. Now I've got a little one-year-old. He's in daycare today, so he won't be interrupting.
Very good. I guess the first thing is, so why email? When everyone is talking about Facebook advertising and all these other different strategies, we don't hear a lot about photographers using email as a marketing strategy. Should we be?
Yes, absolutely. So email marketing is one of those strategies that photographers really aren't jumping on. Photography marketing, there is a bit of a formula that people have used for a very long time, and it's a real combination of offline marketing and very specific strategies that a lot of people are using at the same time. So we're seeing very similar Facebook ads and very simple marketing activities at the moment. And my worry is a lot of these marketing activities are becoming a little bit overexposed and a little bit stale. Now, this is where email marketing can come in, because it is a point of difference for you and also for those who are willing to jump on a little bit of a new strategy and stand out from the market. So email marketing in particular, if we have a look at all the different conversion rates, studies have shown that for every dollar spent for email marketing, you will typically get $38 in return. Now, I just want to clarify that that is an overall Campaign Monitor did a study on a return on investment for email marketing across many industries. So that is the figure for a lot of industries. There isn't anything specific for photography. So we're using that as a bit of a benchmark to be guided on.
Cool. So I'm familiar with the term email marketing. And when I think of it, I'm thinking of, you know, automated emails or email blasts or newsletters that come from whoever I'm subscribed to. Is it the same thing for photographers? Is that, how would you define email marketing?
So I would say email marketing can be e-newsletters, it can be sales funnels, but email marketing, I like, when I talk about email marketing, I like to be a little bit more strategic in my approach with it. So it's taking that e-newsletter and taking it to the next level. So a lot of photographers might already be doing e-newsletters, but are they looking at the numbers? What is the click-through rate? Are they looking at how many people are buying from each of those e-newsletters? See, these are the numbers that I don't do anything without testing and measuring. And I don't make marketing decisions based on opinions and emotions. And this is actually one thing that people do with email marketing. I mean, if you look at our, I don't know about your inbox, but my inbox gets flooded because I'm a little bit of a funnel stalker. I tend to sign up for lead magnets and have a look at everybody's funnels and see what everybody's doing. So my inbox is flooded with email marketing. Now, a lot of people do this as well, but you know, they might find they sign up for a lead magnet and they'll get an email through to their inbox and don't unsubscribe, and they'll continually do that. And before you know it, you've got a very full inbox, and people get turned off by that and think it's quite annoying. And then they decide that their customers would be annoyed by that as well. Now, what I would say to that is just be careful, because we are in business and we are in that marketing space. So we might be subscribing to all these different things because, one, we might be interested in them and we want to hear about it, but we're also, you know, looking at different marketing activities. But your customers are not doing that same thing. If they're signing up for your e-newsletter, assume that they want to hear from you. So there's a little bit of a myth to dispel there with email marketing. So, you know, you hear email marketing is dead. It's very much not true. I read another study somewhere where someone is 60% more likely to sign up to your email list than they are to engage with you on Facebook. So the stats for email marketing are actually profoundly better than a lot of marketing strategies like Facebook and social media.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're going to go into the details. I promise the listener we'll go into the details, but I just want to clarify a couple of things. So when you talk about email marketing, is it always automated?
No, it doesn't have to be. But having said that though, email marketing is one of those marketing strategies where you can automate. And this is why I get really geeky and nerdy about email marketing, because we're very busy running our businesses, and particularly photographers, we tend to have a number of hats on. You know, we're doing fulfillment. We are the photographers. We're the customer service people. So, and we're the marketers. So any opportunity to automate anything in business, I will typically jump on. And email marketing is one of those things. So even the e-newsletter. So people who were sending just general e-newsletters without any really strategic thought about it, are just sending it out there maybe weekly or monthly and doing it manually, I'd like to encourage them to actually think about how they can automate that. So what if they sat down at the beginning of each month or each quarter and actually planned out every e-newsletter that they were going to send? And if you were sending once a month, there's 12 e-newsletters there that you could nail and schedule, and you've got your 12 e-newsletters for the year. Now, I'd encourage you to go one step further than that. And if you're doing it weekly, weekly is a really good, I think, sweet spot. If you are looking at really pushing your brand awareness, I think a weekly e-newsletter is a good way to stay top of mind in front of customers that want to hear from you. So 52 weeks in the year, maybe a bit of a break over Christmas and here and there. So you could do 3 months, you know, in 3 month batches and schedule them. So you don't have to think about it from week to week. You've got it all scheduled.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it matters? Because, I mean, in photography, we're a service-based industry. A lot of us focus on giving good customer service and being personable and approachable and giving personal service. Does it matter that the email looks like it's generic, or, you know, that it is coming automatically?
I think to a degree, we as consumers have come to be a little bit used to automation. So we do expect it to a degree. And in a way, when we sign up for a newsletter and we automatically get an email sent through to us, we kind of know that we're on a little bit of an autoresponder. But there are ways around this. Now, a lot of people who don't do a lot of email marketing, the first thing they will do is go buy or design a fancy e-newsletter template because they think it's great. It looks, you know, very pretty when you receive the e-newsletter in your inbox. To me, that screams automation. That screams salesy and marketing. If you are doing a lot of automation, you want to try and make it look as much like it is coming from you personally. So any emails that I send out automatically to people look like they personally are being sent from me and my inbox. So they've got the same signature. I actually haven't done it yet, but I'm about to change my signature to put my face in there. So there's a personal face there that makes the email real. And one thing that I think is really important, if you're not already doing it, collect their first name when you're collecting their email and then lead magnet, and make sure you're greeting them personally. So, hi, Sarah. Hi, John.
Got it. And the other thing that I wanted to just clarify before we go too deep is you've already used the word a couple of times. I used it once in the intro, and the word is funnel. What do we mean by a funnel?
Oh, funnel. This is where I get really geeky and nerdy. Now, funnels is a way. So funnels is actually not a new thing. If you think about any marketing activity any business has done, so if someone advertises on TV, there might be a phone number to call. Now, when you call, you're greeted by someone and they might have a script, and then there might be a series of steps that you go through in order to get to whatever they're selling. Now, that ultimately is a funnel. It's a way of driving traffic and driving them through a journey to a point that they might be in a position to make a decision to buy from you. And it's a way of capturing anonymous traffic. So if you think about your website, you've got a whole heap of people coming to you. You might be spending so much money and time on SEO and driving people to your website. If you've got nowhere for them to go once they're on that website and they leave, you don't know who they are. You might be able to, if you've got your pixel up there, and if you don't, you should, your Facebook pixel, you might be able to retarget them, but you still don't know who they are. So you want to, in some way, capture them. So that's usually where a lead magnet comes in with an opt-in form, and you capture their first name and their email address. And then you want to start taking them on a journey and nurturing them. So you can assume that someone's cold when they first sign up, and how a funnel is kind of how we get them from being a cold traffic to being hot and ready to buy. So what email series or funnel and messages can we be sending to them while they're subscribed to us to bring them to warm, and then at the end, offer them something that is so good they just can't turn down.
Okay. And let's say, for argument's sake, they either take your offer or they decline it at the end of the funnel. Does that mean they're kicked out or they stay on the funnel?
No. So this is where you can get really tricky with all your email automation. So you might end up having multiple funnels. So this is where I can probably give you a bit of a hint on a few strategies you can use. As a start, you might have your lead magnet and you capture them. You send them through a bit of an email series that introduces you, educates them about who you are and why you love doing what you're doing, educates them about the value of photography. And then in the end, of that series, you give them an offer, and it's an entry-level offer, something that's a no-brainer to get them in, get bums on seats and through the door. Now, if they happen to say no, what you then do is you might put them onto another funnel or another email automation that continues the nurture process for those, because they've said no, but it's not necessarily no, it's not yet. And if they have not unsubscribed from you, it means they still want to hear from you. And also, it's a good point there that if they unsubscribe, they're doing you a favor. They're not your customer and they're not ready to buy. So it's good that they're out of your funnel. But if they have not unsubscribed, that they still want to hear from you. So what you could do at the very minimum there is once they've gone through that initial sales funnel, that you put them onto your e-newsletter funnel that you would have already sat down and planned out, and they go on that journey on a week-to-week basis with your general nurture and education content.
Okay, so you're talking about two different things here. So that nurture process is a series of emails that they would get once they opt in and they take your lead magnet. They'd get a series of automated emails. They're not getting your newsletter yet. Then once they finish that nurture series, then hopefully they're going to take whatever you're offering. They book a shoot. If they don't, then they go onto the newsletter list and they start receiving monthly newsletters to get warmed up again and stay friends and associated with us. Is that right?
That's right. And you could even go a step further with the e-newsletters you're sending out regularly. With MailChimp, and there's another email tool that I like to use is MailerLite. So it's a good alternative to MailChimp and really, really easy to use, and I think a little bit cheaper. So check that out.
Sorry, Kyle, is that M-A-I-L-E-R-L-I-T-E?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got landing pages and they pretty much do everything MailChimp does, but a lot easier to use, I find. Now, what you can do, and ConvertKit also does this as well, is that when they perform an action in one of these e-newsletters, like could be simply as you could be talking about newborns and it could be a link to a particular blog post in that particular email. Now, that is then tagged to trigger a different automation. So you know that that person is interested in newborn sessions now. So what if you then had another nurture funnel that was specifically for newborns that took them through a little bit of a series and then an offer specifically for newborns? Because you might find they've signed up to you. They weren't quite ready to book in with you yet. They've gone through your e-newsletter series then, and then they're still kind of investigating for newborn, but they might just now be at a time where they're ready to buy and you funneled them in to another specifically targeted newborn funnel. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. All right. I'm fearful of going down too many rabbit holes without just going back to the beginning for a second, because I love all this stuff and I want to explore it with you more. Let me just take you back for a second, because you've mentioned, first of all, the listener needs an email program like MailChimp or MailerLite or ConvertKit. So that's what's going to run this series of emails. This is where all your email addresses and first names are going to live inside these programs. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Now, there's bigger automation systems out there like Infusionsoft and Entreport. I'm going to say that you don't need those. Now, there was a real big movement a couple of years ago. They were really marketing hard to small business. I'm not quite sure whether people are aware of them, but they were really pitching that if you want to do email marketing, you need to be with them. You don't. MailChimp introduced automation and it's really clever. A lot of big companies are using MailChimp. MailerLite is a really, really good, solid alternative to MailChimp. I personally have moved everything from MailChimp to MailerLite, so check it out. It's really easy with their automations. The next level would be ActiveCampaign and ConvertKit and Drip and GetResponse after that. But most people are only going to need MailChimp and MailerLite.
Sorry, and or?
Or.
Or, okay, sorry. Cool, that's or. Cool. Okay, great. And then you've also talked a lot about a lead magnet. Now, I think this is one of the, and I've done a few interviews, covering lead magnets a little bit in the interviews. And I think that's the biggest thing that photographers get stuck on. Have you seen a lead, or do you know of a lead magnet that actually works for photographers?
Yeah. So I think this is key. I think people need to sit down and do some brainstorming and reinvent the lead magnet for photographers, because quite a few are popping up that are very similar. And I've got a list here and some of them might be similar. So you've got to really expand on these and try and find a point of difference to everybody else. So the key is you need to solve a problem. So, for example, with newborn photography, so your target market are women who are pregnant. Now, what are their biggest problems right now? Now, I can tell you, the week before I gave birth to little Archie, I was Googling what to pack in my hospital bag. So if you were a newborn photographer, I'd be doing a checklist on everything you need to have in your newborn, because if I had have searched that and a photographer and I hadn't booked in a photographer at that point and a photographer's website came up with that lead magnet, I would have put my name in to get that, because that would have solved my problem and given me an easy checklist. So another one would be the newborns, the ultimate shopping checklist. So everything that you've got to buy in preparation for newborns. So for families, I really like, so as a family, I know some people might disagree with this, but I like the idea of teaching them how to capture their own family photos, but maybe on their iPhone. So you don't give away the full secret. You don't teach them how to use a real camera, but sometimes mums just want to know how to take the perfect iPhone photo and it's Insta-worthy. So give them a few tips on how to compose and frame. So a little booklet, cheat sheet, something like that. Those doing beauty would boudoir. So how to look fabulous in photos, you know, boudoir basics guide thing, how to prepare, things like that. Branding, personal branding and headshots. I wouldn't be giving tips on photography. I'd be looking, so business is quite easy. What about a media kit template or business card templates? That includes your photo. So the media kit is perfect because you're going to have all the photos from your personal branding session in that media kit.
Nice. I like that. So let me take you back to the newborn one. So if the listener is a newborn photographer, they don't have to necessarily be offering photography tips to their visitors.
No, no. And I'd probably encourage not to. I would be encouraged about really looking at what that targeted audience is experiencing right now in their own lives and what are their biggest problem that you can solve for them that then leads you into them. So wedding's good for that, like a wedding preparation checklist, a supplier's black book. But newborns is really, really easy because anything got to do, even, you know, Archie was my second child, so I really should have known what to buy for him. But really, I had to go back because it was 7 years between children. So I had to go back and think, okay, so I need a cot, I need linen, it's this time of year, so what kind of clothes am I going to need? So you can really think about all those key things and solve their problem, because when you solve someone's problem and you make a difference in their lives, you've made a connection. So you're always coming back, and this is any marketing activity you do, whether social media, Facebook or email marketing, it's about making human-to-human connections and starting a conversation. And I actually feel of everything. Email is one of the most direct ways to have that human-to-human connection.
Sure. Okay, that makes good sense. So what's a good opt-in rate, you know, for the number of visitors? Is there a percentage that we should be looking for, site visitors to opt-ins?
Oh, that's a really tricky question because it can be different across different industries. And I always like to test and measure. Now, I do have quite a few clients who get really upset when they get low, like 20 to 30% opt-in rates. But if you've got a really attractive lead magnet, you could probably be looking up to 80%.
Wow.
But it's also got to do with a lot with your website traffic, who you're marketing to, and also one of the really key mistakes that a lot of photographers in particular is they really do not do their research on their target markets. So if a newborn photographer, they might actually, or a family photographer, they'll just say, oh, I market to all families. That is not enough to know who your target market is. And it makes a whole lot of difference when it comes to working out your conversion rates. If you're marketing to everybody, your conversion rate is going to be a lot lower. If you're a family photographer marketing to parents with older children, so you can then put an age group to that particular parent and age group and kids, and you're really honing down on a particular niche, your conversion rates for your lead magnets and any of your marketing activities are going to be a lot higher. So it really pays to niche down on each target market that you have within your business. It's a little bit easier if you're niched, your sessions are niche. So specifically newborn, if you are a studio that does a full spectrum of target audience, you've got a niche down for each session that you do. So you know who you're marketing to.
Got it. Okay. All right. So I'm guessing that the answer to my next question is going to be pretty obvious, but if you're a studio that then targets families, pets and newborns, you would really need to have three different lead magnets on three different pages, and then you have three different lists inside MailerLite or MailChimp or whatever you're using.
Yes. So if you're going to market to each of those particular target audiences, you need to have a message that directly speaks to that particular target market. So, and it can be, you can have a similar template. So there is a formula to email funnels and email series, and it's just a matter of changing the language and changing the objective in some way. So I do have an education, a six-part education email series that I've been using to help with clients. And that template itself has been reworked to be across pets, newborns, families. I haven't done weddings yet, but that one template, all it just needed is, so one of the emails was your story. So that talks about the particular photographer and why they got into that. But the language might change the personality of the photographer. So it does pay to have separate funnels for each target audience because, for example, a pet, do you start talking about perfect, you know, in language different, you know, your fur babies, and you've got specific language for that particular target market that doesn't quite resonate right with your families and newborns. Yes. So it pays to have different funnels that speak directly to that particular target market.
And a different lead magnet to get them into that funnel.
That's right. Yes.
Let's say I've got my lead magnet set up. I'm all going with MailerLite. I've tested it. Everything's working. So I know everything's working and I get 100 visitors to the page, but no signups. What does that mean?
So you'd want to be looking at your lead magnet and is it irresistible enough? Is it solving a problem? So if they're not signing up at all, I would say your lead magnet does not solve a problem, or it has to do with the opt-in, how you're presenting that opt-in. So you're going to get lower conversion rates if it's just an embedded opt-in form. So there's a couple of different devices that you can use to present this opt-in. So you can have your pop-up that it is aggressive and some people find it annoying, but it is going to be the one that converts the highest in getting opt-ins and people into your funnel. The next one that works quite effectively is the welcome mat. So that if you've been to a website and suddenly from the top, I'm using hand actions and realizing no one's going to be able to see that. Something comes from the top down and presents you with the lead magnet and opt-in form. That's called a welcome mat and you skip and it retracts back up. And the other way is an embedded form in the page itself. But that's going to convert the lowest because it is the most unobtrusive and it is very easy to skim past. There's so many different distractions that will take them away from actually entering their emails. So that could be another reason why maybe they're just not seeing your opt-in form on your website.
Okay. That unobtrusive embedded form, that's the one that I see on most photographers' websites.
Yeah. And it's usually because the photographer themselves have decided that a pop-up is too annoying. They find pop-ups annoying. But what I'd say to that, you've got to remove your own emotion and your own opinion because your customers may not find that annoying. And at the same time, if they do, maybe they aren't the right people to capture in this particular funnel. You want people who are taking active actions. Does that make sense? So when someone's ready to buy, they're going to opt into that funnel because they want something that you have. And if it's free, you know, there's no barrier to entry. So they just get in there. If someone is not ready to buy, maybe they will hit the X. So you don't want them in that funnel. So a pop-up is going to have a higher conversion rate and getting them through that funnel. And to me, at the aim of the game, if it brings in more customers and gets more bums on seats, I'm going to annoy my customers with a pop-up.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, just before we move on from lead magnets and these opt-in forms, where is the best place on the website to have them? And is the homepage okay?
Yeah, so the homepage is good for a pop-up. Now, there's certain pages on a photographer's website that I would not have a pop-up. Now, they usually hit the pages where you want them to do something else. So if you've got any other landing pages, like maybe a booking form, or you've got a landing page for a specific promotion, I would turn the opt-in form off on those pages. So also things like a contact page, I'd also almost be tempted to turn it off on your pricing and products and experience pages if you've got things, because you want them to take the time to learn about your business and your products and your pricing. That's an important message, important part of your website that you don't want to interrupt that process. So keep your pop-ups to your homepage, your general pages, and your blog pages. That's a perfect place. So other places for an embedded form, I would be putting an embedded opt-in form on the sidebar of your blogs, also at the bottom of your blogs. So if you've got multiple lead magnets, and so you're a studio doing family, newborns, pets, and weddings, you might have a lead magnet for each of those, and you might do different blogs that target those specific genres. So if you're speaking about a wedding, you might put the opt-in form for the wedding lead magnet down the bottom of that particular post.
Got it. Okay, great.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Okay, but this isn't difficult, is it, to set up?
Well, there's one caveat to MailChimp. MailChimp is a little bit tricky. That's why I love MailerLite. It's a little bit easier. And ConvertKit is really easy. So the trick with MailChimp, I'll just give you a heads up with that, with groups, they have that functionality to be able to put people into groups. But when for opt-in forms, they don't easily allow you to automatically opt someone into that group without them having to check a box. You can do it, but you might need to do a little bit of coding or get a plugin that specifically does it. With MailerLite and most other email programs, it's really easy to do. MailChimp is a little bit trickier. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people tend to set up multiple lists within MailChimp rather than going down the group's path.
Got it. Okay. And then for anyone listening, and I think there's probably a few photographers that might think about changing from MailChimp to MailerLite. Is that an easy transition?
Yes, really easy. MailerLite has a really good open rate at the moment because they're a newer email system, but they've got a bit of a process to get your account approved. But other than that, once you're up and running, you're good to go. And it's just a matter of importing your list. But if you have a really cold list, I'd probably encourage if you have not emailed to your list in a long time, it's a good opportunity to start from scratch rather than importing all your subscribers. Because what you don't want to do is suddenly send an email to an email list that hasn't heard from you for 12 months. Because that can actually hurt your open rate because they might actually forget that they've signed up for something and mark you as spam, and that can actually hurt your open rates.
So you would do that in MailChimp before you move to MailerLite?
Yeah, potentially. So you could actually send out an email in MailChimp before you migrate just saying, hey, haven't heard from you in a while. If you would still like to be subscribed, please click here. And that's where you add a tag. So you can then segment the audience that don't want to hear from you and do want to hear from you and only import the ones that do want to hear from you into MailerLite.
Got it. Perfect. Kylie, you have been amazing. I mean, do you help photographers with all this stuff? Have you got any room to take on clients?
I do. Well, I've actually turned off all my marketing funnels being just before Christmas because everybody wants everything done. I've turned everything off for the moment. But yes, I love doing this stuff. I love working for photographers because I am a photographer, so I know the industry and I know the audiences and the quirks of the industry. So you are people. So yes, I love to work and I love email funnels. I'm a creative person, but equally a tech geek as well.
Okay, where should we go to learn more?
So creatology.com, so creatology with a K. You can also head over to my Facebook pages and like me there. Otherwise, KylieGarner.com is also my photography website, so you can check out my work there as well.
Unreal. I'll add links to all those in the show notes. I'm sure there's going to be some follow-up questions. I know you're in the members' Facebook group, so we'll be talking to you there as well. Kylie, you have been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully, I'll see a whole heap of funnels start up and I'll be funnel stalking you all.
That sounds a bit scary.
It does. Sorry.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kylie as much as I did. Kylie, if you are listening, thank you again so much for coming on and sharing everything you did. You are amazing. You are so giving in these interviews. I mean, you are amazing the time you came on and did the Facebook Live session for members inside the Facebook group, and you went above and beyond today. So again, a massive thanks for being so giving with your knowledge and the information that you did. For you, the listener, I've added Kylie into the members Facebook group. So if you have a follow-up question for her and you are a premium member, you have easy access to Kylie right there in the group. If you're listening to the free podcast episode and you have a follow-up question for Kylie, I know that she'll be happy to come back and answer those. You can leave a comment at the bottom of the show notes and you can find them at photobizx.com/302. And in those show notes, as usual, I've got links to anything and everything that Kylie mentioned, including her social media accounts and a link to her creatology.com website. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the show. I hope you have an amazing week. I hope it's a productive week. If you are feeling overwhelmed, break it down. Make a list of the things that you want to implement into your business. Look at the top three that will actually make the biggest difference. Turn everything else off. Turn off your social media. Close down your email. Turn off your notifications and get those things done. Don't even look at anything else on your list. Just focus on getting those top three things done and leave yourself a little bit of time to check social media and email in the morning and the evening, or you know, maybe a couple of times a day. Don't get caught up getting pestered by notifications and feeling that you have to respond immediately to everything that comes in, particularly if it's on Facebook or Instagram. If it's an email inquiry, yeah, maybe that's different, particularly if you don't have any automation set up. But look at the top three things and focus on getting them done. That's my little tip to close out the day. And the reason I bring that up now is because we're having a discussion inside the members Facebook group on this exact topic. Because one thing is for sure, if you are a member or you listen to the podcast regularly, you will never be short of an idea to implement. So you can't implement them all. It's crazy to even try. And I would even say, like Mark Clarice said inside the members Facebook group, don't listen to the podcast for a couple of weeks. You know, turn the podcast off for a month and get the things done that you need to get done in your business. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. The podcast will still be there for you when you come back and you're ready to implement something new. If you want to listen to the podcast, even though you have a big list, that's fine too. Make a note of the things that you want to implement and still focus on those top three things that are going to make the biggest difference. You can come back to the smaller ideas later on. They won't be going anywhere. All right. If you've got a heap of things to do and you're listening to me, turn the podcast off. Go and get something done. Make a difference in your business. Go and implement something that you've heard to help you get to where you want to be with your business. That is it for me. No more preaching. Have a great week. I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.